Okay. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. Lord, we just love you. We just ask that you love on us tonight. Let it be a great time with you, Lord, and let your revelations come out. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we thank you for that. Lord, all we want to do is just praise you and magnify your holy name, Lord, and just come into contact with you. We want that personal touch from you, Lord, and we'd like to hear from you in a mighty way. We ask that, Lord, and place it in our spirit, Lord, to draw closer to you, Father, because that's where you want us. You told me the other day that you talk to me all the time if I just let you. You know, you want to talk to us all the time. You have many things to tell us, Lord, and we just get distracted by the day-to-day stuff. And Lord, I ask that you place it in our hearts and all of the fellowship heart to seek you every day and to get those words of wisdom that you have for us, Lord. And I thank you for that, Father, that we could sit and be still just for a little bit for you and listen to what you have to tell us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for placing that in our heart to do that every day and to sacrifice our time if we have to listen to you, because you're more important than anything else. I know that's true. And Lord, I ask that you anoint us tonight, all of the people here, anoint all of us, Lord, to share what's on our heart that you've given us. And I thank you for that, Lord. You're worthy of our praises, and I do. I praise you, Father, because of who you are and what you've been and how you've treated us, Lord. You've loved us. You've loved on us so much. You've given us your love. And when we ask for that love, you give it. Turn our hearts into your heart, Lord, for we see love throughout the whole world. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Father, that in the days ahead, you are going to be with us, walking with us, talking with us, and showing us. And we're going to be really cognizant of that spirit-led walk that you want us to be. Not that you're going to be talking to us, but you're going to be leading us by your spirit, by that inner knowing, Father. And I praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight we're going to have an awesome time. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? How about a testimony? Hey, Tracy. I like it. Angel warrior there. I guess that's what that is. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Anybody got a testimony? Yeah, Tim.
Yeah, well, we've been praying and then believing for quite a while that Katie would get into a, it's Tasha's mom, would get into a relationship with a good guy, and her and her boyfriend came out this way and picked up Tasha and took her back to Washington. They're here last night and this morning. Got to meet him, and he appears to be a decent guy. He's a hard worker, kind of quiet, but he seems like a good guy, a lot better than a lot of the other guys that she hung around with. And so we're thanking the Lord for that she's found somebody that is going to develop into a relationship, if that's the Lord's will, and into a godly relationship. And we're just thanking the Lord that we got to meet him and that she came by, and she's growing. It's slow, but we're believing for that too. And so we're just praising the Lord for Katie. And thank you all for your prayers along the way. We appreciate it. And thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we just thank you that Katie and Tracy, did you say his name was?
Oh, his name's Jason.
Jason, okay. That Katie and Jason both, Lord, would that you grant repentance to them and bring them in, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And use Natasha, too. We praise you, Father, for doing that. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Debbie, did you get my text back? Okay. All right, good deal. We'll play it after we get through tonight. That's awesome. I like it. I liked it. All right, anybody else got a testimony or praise report?
Hey, Michael, I'd like to pray for my aunt.
Okay, go ahead, Leo.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, for all your love shows, Father, and I. At this time, I want to lift up my aunt Natasha to you, Lord. She's a wonderful lady. Father, this pancreatic cancer that they've discovered in her. Lord, I just ask you to work an amazing deliverance in her life, Father. And I pray that you work a great deliverance in her children through this, Lord. Lord, this family has struggled in faith a lot, Lord. They've gone through a lot. She's been through a lot, Lord. And she's a wonderful woman and does a lot of good deeds. And I just pray, Lord, that you would do this awesome work in this family's life, Lord, and deliver her and bless her, Lord, and give her this faith to believe, Father, and that you would strengthen her, Lord, and give her a peace of heart. Lord, her husband is in a terrible state right now, finding out this news, and I ask you, Lord, to do a wonderful work in him. Lord, he believes, but he doesn't believe. Send your help in the situation of this deliverance. I thank you for this healing. I thank you, Lord, for this miracle that you're going to do in this family and this transformation that you're going to bring into their children and into her husband, Lord. And it'll be just like.
Can you hear me, Leo?
I can hear you.
Okay, we're having trouble with your audio. What I gathered was that your aunt, they found she had some cancer.
A pancreatic cancer.
Oh, okay. Now, I believe you said she was a believer?
Yes, she's okay. A believer.
Okay. And her husband is also.
She's a good woman, does a lot of, I mean, she's done a lot. Her husband's a believer, but he's taken it really hard. I mean, he's upset, he's frustrated, just kind of torn, and he blames God, and he's broken. He's just.
Well, that's a good place to be, is broken.
Yeah, and you know, and her kids, you know, they live over there in the state of California, and it's really
something that, you know, her dad passed away from pancreatic cancer.
Oh my.
So he's my grandfather.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a terrible, terrible disease.
Yeah, it is. Do you mind if I pray for him?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, her name is Margaret.
No, Natasha.
Natasha. Oh, okay.
Natasha.
All right. All right. Well, Father, we lift up Natasha to you. And, Lord, you know where they are in their faith. When this thing comes on, people, they sometimes just, for lack of a better word, they just freak out. And, Lord, I'm asking you to show grace and mercy upon them and allow us and use our faith, Father, to fight this cancer for them, just to show them and that family what has to be done. And, Lord, I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus right now, I bind up that pancreatic cancer, that spirit of cancer, and command it to leave Natasha right now in the name of Jesus. I command it by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You go from her right now in the name of Jesus. And I command that spirit of the fear of cancer to leave her and her husband right now in the name of Jesus. And I command that spirit of death to leave her in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for a complete victory here of deliverance from this spirit of cancer, the fear, and everything associated with it. And I command every cell, every corpuscle, every muscle, every organ in her body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you're going to get the glory in this one, in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, for what you're doing right now in Natasha and her husband. And Father, I praise you for it, that this will be a catalyst for this whole family to start believing what your word says, start trusting what you've already told them. It's, you know, Lord, these promises actually are not promises. They're statements of fact. 1 Peter 2:24. It's a statement of fact. By his stripes, you were healed. That's a statement. Father, you've already given it to us. And all we have to do is reach out and grab it. And Father, I'm thanking you. I'm praising you, Father, for Natasha's complete victory over cancer. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen. Jesus' name, amen. All right, anybody else want to pray? I believe it's done, Leah. I believe it's done. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Father. Anybody else? I'm going to make a declaration. Natasha, you be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. It's already done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. I believe it. I believe it's done. I believe it's already done. I believe those doctors are going to be confounded. Because that's the God that we serve. He's a graceful God. He's got a lot of grace. He's got a whole lot more than I got. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Anybody else? Look at that devil up there on Tracy's deal. Got a sword fixing to whack that devil's head off. That's the same way out there in Natasha. That angel's got that sword back back up and fixing to whack that devil's head off. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Can't y'all just imagine it in your mind right now that Natasha's coming off of that bed of affliction and she's going to be singing praises to the Lord because of it, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else? Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Man. Okay. I'm going to read something to you right quick. I just got through listening to Shane and Shane in Psalms 34. They sang portions of it. Psalms 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, and it is. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The meek shall hear of it and be glad. Amen. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Praise be to God. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be confounded. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, praise God forevermore, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to those who fear him. Do you hear me? There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Whew, Lord of God. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You get that fear of the Lord. You understand the magnificence of the Lord, the supreme sovereignty of the Lord. And that makes you want to do what God wants you to do. And that's the love. He wants that love out of us. Whew. Come, you children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. Amen. And your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. Praise God for that. And his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cried, and the Lord heard and delivered them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who are of a broken heart and saves such as are of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked. Amen. And those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him shall be condemned. Praise God forevermore. Lord, I thank you for scattering our enemies. I thank you, Father, that angel that I'm looking at over there on Tracy's thing there, is doing the same thing for us. He's out there whacking our enemies. And Father, we praise you for that. We know the time is coming, Lord, when your bride is going to be in that special place where all their enemies have to scatter before them. As they walk, they scatter. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing right now in all of us. Place it in our hearts, Lord, to surrender absolutely to you and not to our flesh. Absolutely to you, Father, is the only way that'll bring us happiness and rest in our and peace in our heart. That's the only thing that does it. But help us to do it, Father. Help us to overcome the world and the flesh. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. That's a good song, too, by the way. I love that song. Okay. Anybody else? I'd sing it, but I'd probably run y'all off. Praise God. Okay. Nobody got anything you want to comment on? Okay. Get me book open here. Where are we on? Chapter 11? I think so. I think that's the last one, isn't it? No, we're on chapter 12. We was on 11 last week. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, glory be to God. Won't y'all be glad when that day comes? My gracious sakes alive. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This psalm opened with the proud, joyous statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now it closes with the equally positive, buoyant affirmation, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here is a sheep so utterly satisfied with its lot in life, so fully contented with the care it received, so much at home with the shepherd, that there is not a shred of desire for a change. Stated in simple, direct, rather rough ranch language, it would be put like this: "Nothing will ever make me leave this outfit. It's great." Conversely, on the shepherd's side, there has developed a great affection and devotion to his flock. He would never think of parting with such sheep. Healthy, contented, productive sheep are his delight and profit. So strong now are the bonds between them that it is in very truth forever. The word house used here in the poem has a wider meaning than most people could attach to it. Normally, we speak of the house of the Lord as the sanctuary or church or meeting place of God's people. In one sense, David may have had this in mind, and of course, it's pleasant to think that one would always delight to be found in the Lord's house. But it must be kept in mind always that the psalmist, writing from the standpoint of a sheep, is reflecting on and recounting the full round of the year's activities for the flock. He's taken us from the green pastures and still waters of the home ranch, up through the mountain passes, onto the high tablelands of the summer rains. Fall has come with its storms and rain and sleet that drive the sheep down the foothills and back to the home ranch for the long, quiet winter. In a sense, this is coming home. It is a return to the fields and corrals and barns and shelters of the owner's home. During all seasons of the year, with their hazards, dangers, and disturbances. It is the rancher's alertness, care, and energetic management that have brought the sheep through satisfactorily. And it is with a sublime feeling of both composure and contentment that this statement, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," is made. Actually, what is referred to by house is the family or household or flock of the Good Shepherd. The sheep is so deeply satisfied with the flock to which it belongs, with the ownership of this particular shepherd, that it has no wish to change whatever. It is as if it had finally come home again and was now standing at the fence, bragging to its less fortunate neighbors on the other side. It boasts about the wonderful year it has had and its complete confidence in its owner. Sometimes I feel we Christians should be much more like this. We should be proud to belong to Christ. Why shouldn't we feel free to boast to others of how good our shepherd is? How glad we should be to look back and recall all the amazing ways in which he had provided for our welfare. We should delight to describe in detail the hard experiences through which he had brought us. And we should be eager and quick to tell of our confidence in Christ. We should be bold to state fearlessly that we are so glad we are his. By the contentment and serenity of our lives, we should show what a distinct advantage it is to be a member of his household, of his flock. I can never meditate on this last phrase in the psalm without there welling up in my memory vivid scenes from some of the early days on my first sheep ranch. As winter, with its cold rains and chilling winds came on, my neighbor's sickly sheep would stand huddled at the fence, their tails to the storm, facing the rich fields in which my flock flourished. Those poor, abused, neglected creatures, under the ownership of a heartless rancher, had known nothing but suffering most of the year. With them, there had been gnawing hunger all summer. They were thin and sickly with disease and scab and parasites, tormented by flies and attacked by predators. Some were so weak and thin and wretched that their thin legs could scarcely bear their scanty frames. Always there seemed to lurk in their eyes the slender, faint hope that perhaps with a bit of luck they could break through the fence or crawl through some hole to free themselves. And occasionally this used to happen, especially around Christmas. This was the time of extreme tides when the sea retreated far out beyond the end of the fence lines, which ran down to it. The neighbor's emaciated, dissatisfied, hungry sheep would wait for this to happen. Then, at the first chance, they would go down on the tidal flat, slip around the end of the fence, and come sneaking in to gorge themselves on our rich green grass. So pitiful and pathetic was their condition that the sudden feast of lush feed to which they were unaccustomed often proved disastrous. Their digestive systems would begin to scour, and sometimes this led to death. I clearly recall coming across three of my neighbor's ewes lying helpless under a fir tree near the fence one drizzly day. They were like three old, limp, gray, sodden sacks collapsed in a heap. Even their bony legs would no longer support them. I loaded them into a wheelbarrow and wheeled them back to their heartless owner. He simply pulled out a sharp killing knife and slit all three of their throats. He couldn't care less. What a picture of Satan who holds ownership over so many. Right there, the graphic account Jesus portrayed of himself as being the door and entrance by which sheep were to enter his fold flashed across my mind. Those poor sheep had not come into my ranch through the proper gate. I had never let them in. They had never really become mine. They had not come under my ownership or control. If they had, they would not have suffered so. Even starting out under my management, they would have been given very special care. First, they would have been put on dry, limited rations, and then they would have gradually have been allowed green feed until they were adjusted to the new diet and mode of life. In short, they tried to get in on their own, and it simply spelled disaster. What made it doubly sad was that they were doomed anyway. On the old impoverished ranch, they would have starved to death that winter. And likewise with those apart from Christ, the old world is a pretty wretched ranch, and Satan is a heartless owner. He cares not a whit for men's souls or welfare. Under his tyranny, there are hundreds of hungry, discontented hearts who long to enter into the household of God, who ache for his care and concern. Yet there's only one way into this fold. That way is through the owner, Christ himself, the good shepherd. He boldly declared, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture." John 10, verse 9. And almost every day, I am literally rubbing shoulders with men and women on the other side of the fence. What's my impact upon them? Is my life so serene, so satisfying, so radiant because I walk and talk and live with God that they become envious? Do they see in me the benefits of being under Christ's control? Do they see something of Him reflected in my conduct and character? Does my life and conversation lead them to Him and thus into life everlasting? If so, then I may be sure some of them will also long to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And there's no reason why this cannot happen if they come under His proper ownership. Has anybody got any comments now on what we've just covered? Go ahead, Tim.
There we go. When I was thinking of the sheep and the neighbor's pasture, you know, they were underfed and sickly and malnourished and stuff, the thing was that kept coming to my mind was people in apostasy and in false religion that, you know, think they're getting nourishment, but they really, they realize they're not. But they don't know what to do different about it but they can look to see that there are some people in Christianity that are thriving and they don't know what they're missing out on or how to get it. They're being deceived and in some cases, you know, actually caged by their doctrine and they can't get out. They're not allowing themselves to get out. So that's one thing that really stuck out first, those passages in that book was that the people that are, you know, think they're getting the benefits really aren't, and they're starving to death and they're malnourished and things like that. So.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Hey, Greg. Thank you.
Good evening.
Mm-hmm.
You have put me off eating lamb for a while.
The what?
You put me off eating lamb for a while.
Okay. All right. Okay. We're reading, Greg, for your information, we're reading out of the book, The Shepherd Looks at Psalms 23, and we're actually in the last chapter, and it has been an outstanding book. It's a short book. It's not very long.
Sorry, I missed it. I'll have to get hold of it.
Oh, yeah. Joe just put it up there in the chat room if you want to get the link to it.
Yeah. I will. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Tim.
Early on in the chapter, you know, he's talking about the sheep being happy in the company of the shepherd. I was thinking too about, you know, the year long cycle. That's a lot of the sheep ever live is the 1 year. And but through that year, the trials of the shepherd has seen them through, that they've always had their needs met. It's always been there, you know, maybe not real close, but hovering in the distance. And that's, you know, the way the Lord is with us, you know, through our life. He's, whether we know he's there or not, you know, he's there. And when we realize that, and especially as we grow in our Christian walk and start to realize that he's in control of everything, that our trust in him can really grow. And I think that's probably what David was trying to get through in that last verse of the psalm, that, you know, after a year or a lifetime in the Lord's care, that we can trust him in whatever, you know, is whatever situation we end up in, that we know that he's there for us, even though it may not seem like it right at the time, but we have the trust that things are going to work out. It was a really beautiful part of that book, I thought.
Amen. Yep. I'm amazed at the parallels here. It's awesome. I got a question for you, Tim. How long do you keep sheep?
Well, the young males, we would keep them. They were born in February, and by September, we're looking for a butcher because we only needed one male around. And if we had too many ewes, same thing. So most of them were, you know, 8-9 months, because I didn't have the acreage, the fencing, or the barn or anything for a bigger herd. So we kept it, you know, fairly small, and they were in the freezer by December, hopefully.
Okay. Well, hang on just a minute. How big would they get? Would they get full size?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't take long for them to feed them out.
No, and and then 8 months they were, you know, they might get a little bigger if you left them another year, but, you know, the meat was good, and then I didn't have to haul an extra couple of tons of hay for the winter.
Yeah, so. Amen. Amen.
Cool.
Okay. That's interesting. All right, anybody else? Charlotte had to go. She's gone. All right, let's see. There is one other beautiful, by the way, Greg, I'm on, page 121, the top. There is one, there is one other beautiful and final sense in which the psalmist was speaking as a sheep. It's brought out in the Amplified Old Testament, where the meaning of this last phrase is, I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. My personal conviction is that this is the most significant sentiment that David had in his heart as he ended this hymn of praise to divine diligence. Not only do we get the idea of an ever-present shepherd on the scene, but also the concept that the sheep wants to be in full view of his owner at all times. This theme has run all through our studies. It is the alertness, the awareness, the diligence of a never-tiring master, which alone assures the sheep of excellent care. And from the sheep's standpoint, it is knowing that the shepherd is there. It is the constant awareness of his presence nearby that automatically eliminates most of the difficulties and dangers, while at the same time providing a sense of security and serenity. It is the sheep owner's presence that guarantees there will be no lack of any sort, that there will be abundant green pastures, that there will be still clean waters, that there will be new paths into fresh fields, and that there will be safe summers on the high tablelands, that there will be freedom from fear, that there will be antidotes for flies and disease and parasites, that there will be quietness and contentment. In our Christian lives and experience, precisely the same idea and principle applies. For when all is said and done on the subject of a successful Christian walk, it can be summed up in one sentence: live ever aware of God's presence. There is the inner consciousness, which can be very distinct and very real, excuse me, of Christ's presence in my life, made evident by his gracious Holy Spirit within. It is he who speaks to us in distinct and definite ways about our behavior. For our part, it is a case of being sensitive and responsive to that inner voice. There can be a habitual awareness of Christ within me, empowering me to live a noble and richly rewarding life in cooperation with him. As I respond to him and move in harmony with his wishes, I discover that life becomes satisfying and worthwhile. It acquires great serenity and is made an exciting adventure of fulfillment as I progress in it. And this is made possible as I allow his gracious spirit to control, manage, and direct my daily decisions. In fact, I should deliberately ask for his direction, even in minute details. Then there is the wider, but equally thrilling, awareness of God all around me. I live surrounded by his presence. Praise God. I am an open person, an open individual, living life open to his scrutiny. He is conscious of every circumstance I encounter. He attends me with care and concern because I belong to him. And this will continue through eternity. What an assurance. I shall dwell in the presence of, in the care of, the Lord forever. Bless his name. Is that the end of it? Okay. All right. Well, praise God forevermore. That is an awesome book. Awesome book. Anybody got any thoughts on the whole book? Did it change your life? Some aspects of it did me. Thank you, Lord. That last chapter, chapter 11, was an awesome chapter. Well, all of them were, but that last one really, I thought, was good. Anybody got any thoughts on it now? Come on.
Yeah, Michael, one thing chapter that really stuck out, Satan's heart, and you know what a heartless master he is and how much dominion he has over so many lost people in the world, and that, you know, they're really hopeless, and until the Lord draws them in, that, you know, that there's some miserable people in this world, and they don't even, probably don't even know why, but you know, through the grace of God, you know, we've been drawn out of that. Just really want to praise the Lord for that. But Satan is a heartless master. You look back at the time when, you know, I wasn't living with the Lord, you know, it was never good. And so just it's a sad thing for those folks.
Amen. It sure is. I tell you what, I've never seen so much hate in all my life. If you don't think there's hate, go to California, walk down L.A. with a MAGA hat on. See if you can make it from one end of the street to the next without somebody hollering at you or beating up on you. That's the golly, I've never seen such hate. Yep, it's God that brings all that out of them. Now what? Huh? Yeah, Debbie. Oh, yeah.
I have just something to read if I can. It's Ezekiel.
Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me. Ezekiel 34, because I was thinking the same thing before Tim spoke, the thought about the church and the apostasy, apostate churches. Now they're leading the people and destroying them, actually. And so anyway, I wanted to read some of this from Ezekiel 34. It's really touching my heart about all this. Wow. So the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ho, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the crippled you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, behold, my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts. Since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when some of his sheep have been scattered abroad. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them up into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the fountains, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and upon the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture, and they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on fat pastures they will feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the crippled, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will watch over. I will feed them in justice. There's a lot more to this chapter for that, but.
Amen. That's a good one. Relevant. Mm-hmm. Very relevant. Okay. Debbie had sent me a link to a song that actually is called, let me look here. Gentle Shepherd, and I want to play it for y'all and let y'all listen to it. It's a pretty good song. I like it.
Jesus says, follow me. It's one of the easiest commands in the Bible, one of the shortest ones, only two words. But it's so hard to obey. Every time I try, I try to be patient. I try to think good thoughts, to tell the whole truth, to do the right things that Jesus would do. But somehow I always come up short. I try to keep up with Jesus, following him on his path, but I always trip on a rock or run into a tree or fall off a cliff. Even when I try my hardest and use all my strength, I'm useless. Why can't I just do it right? Am I just worthless? I know he has a purpose for me, but if I can't even follow him, how can he show it to me? And how can I fulfill it? Why can't I just do what God designed me to do? And if I can't, why am I here? I'm just an empty body. But that's why Jesus tells me to follow him. Because when I follow, I'm not just walking behind him, he's leading. Like a shepherd, he tenderly guards his sheep, going before me to make sure there's no danger ahead. He holds my hand, so when I fall, he pulls me back up to my feet so I can keep following. If I let go and I try to walk in my power, I'll still fall, but his mighty arm will hold me up, reminding me to walk in his strength. Letting him lead, I can follow to fulfill his purpose for me. Lord, I want to follow you. I know you alone can carry me through. So here's my prayer.
Gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle shepherd, feed us, for we need your strength from day to day. There's no other we can turn to. Another day, gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way.
Shepherd, I've distrusted your voice and passed by your outstretched arm day after day. I've tried to do it on my own, through my own strength, for my own glory. I've been squandering the time you've given me, enjoying my own pleasure. Please forgive me and help me find your way. Show me your purpose for my life and please help me fulfill it. Lift this weak lamb from the ditch I've fallen into and onto the path you've chosen for me. Feed me with your word and give me strength to walk the rugged path of life. Lead me to lead others to your perfect pasture. Give me the humility to work for you with no thought of my own praise.
There's no other we can turn to, who can help us face another day. Gentle shepherd, come and find our way.
That was good. I enjoyed that. Thank you, Debbie. Amen. All right. Anybody else got something they want to do? I don't have an agenda tonight. Go ahead, Denny. I saw you hit that mute button. All right. That was good. I like that. Hey, Andrew, you want to give us a dissertation on the book? What you thought of it?
I found when we read this last chapter, it brought back the memory of all the other chapters on how the shepherd would apply the ointment on the sheep for the various disasters that the sheep went through, for the scabs, for the other insects, you know, and how the shepherd would look after them on the high summer tablelands from the predators, the cougars, the bears, the wolves. And it just made you reflect on everything. And he has a very sobering word for everything on how he says it. And it just makes you reflect. And sometimes, you know, it makes you think, boy, sometimes I'm out of it, you know, been thinking how much he just looks after you. And how much time, you know, where your mind can wander and he's there still looking and caring for you and even worrying about you, I guess. That's the one thing, you know. One would prefer not to have him worry and just have your eye constantly upon him and really close so that you can even hear his voice, his breathing and stuff, you know. That's how close you want to be. And it would be so safe and secure there to have him really close. Sometimes, you know, you wonder whether or not you're close enough, you know, and then you wonder if he's there watching, ready to corral you even a little closer to him, and to have you just close by. That's all.
Amen. That's true. I'm going to show you how vulnerable we get sometimes, how distracted we get. I was looking at this today and I got so ashamed of myself, and I'm going to reveal some things to you that just made me sick. Y'all remember when I told you about talking with Eve, about talking with the Lord? That was on 9/28. Well, I talked to him again on 9/29. Then on 9/30. And then I skipped a few days. 10/4. Then 10/7. You know when the next one was? 10/18. The next one after that was 10/31. But then I got a little bit more. I got 11/1, November the 1st. And then the next one was 11/18. And 11/29 was the last time. So we get fired up when we first do things, and you know, we want to do it right, we want to do it right, and then we allow Satan to get in there and distract us That's what I'm seeing in my life. Satan gets in there and distracts and says, well, you got to take care of this, or you've got to take care of that. You've got to do this. Da, 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 da. Well, the reason I'm telling you this is I had a person call me today and wanted to know what was a good Bible lesson on hearing from God. And I said as much as I could without. Well, anyway, I told him to call somebody else. To be honest with you, and I'm laughing because, and I shouldn't be. It's very telling to me how quickly we can get distracted from what I've heard people call, what's the main thing is the main thing, and the main thing is Jesus and listening to him and getting a word from him. And I'm telling you that because I can see just in this little short period of time how I just wandered away from seeking the Lord every day. And it didn't take long. It didn't take long at all to do that. And so I'm just bearing it out there so that I hope it helps somebody else to stay in there and keep seeking the Lord and keep getting those daily messages from the first message he told me, if y'all remember. He told me, he said, Michael, I want to tell you I love you. Please come more often to converse with me, to talk with me. I have many things to tell you. That's a lesson to me, to how easy it is to get distracted and get away from listening to the Lord, to what things that everything he says is important. Everything he says is important. So I'm just, Lord, forgive me. Okay, somebody else talk. I'm going to sit over here and cry a while. It's serious, though.
Isn't just opening the Bible and reading it hearing from God?
You'd have to say that one again. I missed that.
Sorry. Isn't just opening the Bible and reading it hearing from God?
Well, that's one way, yes. Absolutely. But you also have a personal relationship that you have to sit in there. You don't have to. I mean, you want to sit in there and listen to what the Lord gives you also. And that's very important, very important, to be led by the Holy Spirit. But yes, you're right. The Word of God is another way of listening to.
I remember saying to a friend who was saying, I don't hear from God. I said, do you want to hear from him right now? Yeah. So open the Bible and read it. Gives me something to work with. I think it gives the Holy Spirit something to work with the more we get it into us.
Yeah. Amen. Where are you from, Greg?
How far back do you want to go? No, I'm in Australia, on the west coast of Australia.
Oh, okay. All right.
A little bit of background noise where I am right now, so I'll mute.
That's okay. That's all right. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, the word is listening to God. We have been talking about, actually, in recent weeks, about these times alone with God. Just being still and listening to the Lord talk to us, because he's got some things to say to us, tell us things. He's told me a lot of stuff here, but that's what I was trying to get across, is that we still need to spend time with him and allow him to talk to us. And he does through the word too. I'm not saying he doesn't, but he also wants to have a personal relationship, a very personal relationship. Yeah, Joe.
One thing I've noticed lately, you know, I would agree with you. Yes, we need to get alone, or, you know, slow down, get alone. You know, and you're right too, Greg, you know, as you open the word. But I think for even I'm finding even lately this season I'm currently in, you know, I'm always busy at work. You know, I guess you could say I have a life I live. Well, I almost live at work. You know, I spend so many hours there that I'm finding, you know, I can't slow down or stop. And I'm finding, you know, within this last year, probably the Lord just speaks to me instantly. I could be on my forklift driving around and it's like, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but it's like things slow down for me. You know, my thinking, I can think actually as I'm driving, you know, and I mean, I'm still aware of my surroundings. I'm aware of where I'm going, but it's like ultimately God just slows things down. And at times I hear the Lord speak to me. So it's almost like, yeah, you know, it's, I'm not able to at the moment, you know, I mean, probably more of you have more time to be able to be quiet and just, you know, relax and just sit there and listen. But, you know, with me, it's like, hey, I'm busy at work. I got to move around. I got to stay constantly busy, you know, I mean, even thinking at work, but it's like the Lord is speaking to me through that. I find it interesting. I mean, he spoke to me the other day, kind of reminded me of, you know, what you prayed about, you know, when I talked to you and David there Monday, I believe it was, Michael. I mean, the Lord kind of reminded me of something you prayed about. So, you know, as I was working, I thought, oh, yeah, you know, so it's, I don't know, it's interesting. I would agree with that. But then I'm finding within my own life lately, you know, as like I don't have much time to slow down, you know, and relax. I'm always kind of doing something. He still speaks to me, you know, he still finds that way to come in there. Like, you know, it's like, okay, he's not able to slow down now. I'm going to help him tune into, you know, in this busy kind of rushing around or busy movement at work, I'm going to find a way to speak to him, you know, and he does. I don't know. It's interesting. So, yeah, I thought I'd share that.
All right. Anyone else? How about you, Marilyn or Barry? I can do that, you know.
Okay. You know, I'm blessed. I was thinking about what Joe was saying, and Joe, when I was, you know, I haven't always been retired. When I was working as the HR director at the hospital, you know, I felt like just almost my whole life was there, and Saturdays were the one day that I could really spend with the Lord. And then Sunday we went to church, but, you know, I was crying out to the Lord for a number of years to get me out of that situation because I so much wanted to be able to have a life where I could spend time with him, that I did have time to dedicate to prayer. And so, you know, for some of us, yeah, we do have more time, but there, you know, I remember the times when I didn't, and I would just, you know, encourage you to, you know, keep crying out to him, you know, tell him how much you love him and you want to spend time with him, you know, as you can, you know, spend some time in the word. And I also had what I called prayers on wheels, or I'd be, you know, when I was driving to work, you know, just praying, just really talking to the Lord, really pouring my heart out. And Wednesdays is our day that we work at the local food bank, and we're real shorthanded. And I don't have my dedicated prayer time on Wednesday mornings like I normally would throughout the week. I'll pray in the afternoon on Wednesdays after I get home and rest. And it's also a good time to pray for me because I see so much and hear so much at the food bank that needs to be prayed over and people that need to be prayed for. So that's working out well. But yesterday morning, I knew that, you know, we're probably going to have a real busy day and we just don't have, it's just been so bare bones. But boy, just while I was doing the things I needed to do before I got out of there, I was really crying out to the Lord, just confessing scripture and talking to the Lord. And, you know, like I said, one thing that really helps me a lot, you know, if I do have a day where I don't have as much time to really dedicate to prayer, is just confessing the Word, confessing His promises. It strengthens me so much, you know, crying out to the Lord, you know, asking Him to fill me up with the Holy Spirit, asking Him to be my strength, asking Him to go with me. And, you know, He really upheld me well yesterday, and I'm real thankful for that. So, you know, it is great when we can have the time in the prayer closet. There's really nothing like it. But He'll speak to you anywhere, and just being, you know, learning more and more that, you know, we abide in Christ right now at this moment. Just keep, you know, reminding yourself of that. At this moment, I abide in Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And just get yourself some good verses that you can just confess them, things that really minister to your heart. And that'll help you a lot too. Or anyway, those are things that have helped me. And, you know, Michael, I'm not real good about writing down everything the Lord tells me, but, you know, I do it, you know, towards the end of my prayer time, I try to listen. And, you know, I want to listen because the Lord will speak to you. He'll speak to you sometimes through the Word, or sometimes He'll speak to me through an old hymn. He was doing that for me today. He was just speaking an old hymn to me. Except instead of where we would normally, you know, sing to the Lord, it was like He was singing to me and encouraging me. And so anyway.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, He can speak to us in all kinds of ways. All right, anyone else? What about Denny?
Yeah. Yeah, I could share a couple things. I know I think I was 30 years old when I got saved, and working then as a builder, house builder and painter. My father was a painting contractor and my older brother was a builder, so I've worked both trades anyway, but when I got saved and I started going to a church, it was a really good church. There was probably about 250 people or so, roughly. And we had 8 elders. And we didn't have a pastor. They were all elders. The elders were responsible for shepherding the sheep, just as the scripture says. And so there was like a co-equality, or there was a real balance there. And, you know, they all had their own gifting. Some were really good teachers, and you know, a couple could preach, or we had one that was a prophet, prophetic, and the other one was an apostle that went out and helped establish other churches. And but what I learned was that working every day, like Joel said, you're working a lot of hours. Boy, when you get home and you're tired. Of course, then we had kids. You know, we had 7 kids, and not all home at the same time. But you know, as they grew up, you were just busy. You know, and to get into the Word was like, yeah, when am I going to get in the Word? I mean, you know, it was a challenge to get into the Word. Was, you know, that, and but I learned I could trust in on the shepherds a lot. I found some of them wrote pamphlets or booklets or stuff like that. They were, you know, writings. And I found out that they spent the time to get in the word and research the word and do a study. And you know, and it's like they did all the work for you, you know. So like I learned that you could glean from the shepherds that you do have. They all have a gifting and you can glean from them. And it's especially if you don't have the time, otherwise you just wouldn't be getting in the word at all. It was very difficult. You know, you might be 3 or 4 days without hardly opening your Bible, you know, because of the way life was, you know, especially just being saved too. I didn't know that you really need to sacrifice and make some disciplines and some, you know, rearrange your life in some ways so you can get that time. But I know just really always appreciated having shepherds over you, that they're there for you, to help you, to protect you, to correct you, to direct you, you know, to inspect you. There's all these things that a shepherd can do that's to help for your benefit. So it's like, you know, take advantage of the shepherds that you have, and you can glean from them and learn from them. You know, this shepherd and sheep thing, I know we are raw shepherds. I mean, they're all sheep, and the Lord is our shepherd, but yet he gives us earthly shepherds in a body, you know, in a church body. And they do have a calling and a gifting there, but you can take a, you know, you really reap a lot from their gifting. And, you know, as I said, they're there, the fivefold ministry is there for the, you know, for the perfecting of the saints. You know, that's what God's goal is, to perfect us, make us mature, complete, you know, full grown, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and that he can make a whole body of believers that way. You know, he can make a whole body complete, mature, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that's even more, probably more astounding than making one individual person come to a certain measure. But if he's bringing the whole body, church body, to that measure, you know, but it's a lot of that what we're going to receive is going to come through those who God has called out to shepherd like that. So, amen. So, yeah, this book was just really, really good. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm muted. Hey, George, are you around? How about you, Leonard? What'd you think about this book? Okay. All right. What about it, Barbara? What'd you think about it? Now we're finding out where these people are, aren't we?
Hey, you know what? I was just sitting here thinking, he better not call on me. And there you did. Gee golly. I don't know what to say. I know when I was towards the end taking care of Bruce there, I had a hard time getting in the word a lot because, you know, I was really dealing with taking care of him. But I relied on really listening when all the Bible studies, you know, you would do on Wednesday and David would do Sunday and Wednesday. I just pretty much relied on that because I would listen to that. I mean, I always have the word coming at me. If I'm not reading it, I'm listening to it. So, but yeah, sometimes I like that longing to just be one-on-one, just me and the Lord, and he's conversing to me and I'm in the word hearing from him. But as I said, at that time in my life, I struggled to have that. But I don't know. You just keep plugging at it because we love the Lord and we just always want to be with him, you know, just like you said, Michael, by the way, I appreciate your transparency. I appreciate, you know, I love to see that because that's real, you know. I appreciate that. But yeah, we just gotta repent and, you know, when we fail short and just keep going at it, and you know, with the Lord. I'm glad he loves us. You know. Well, I don't know really what else to say.
Okay. You did good. That was awesome. All right. Hey, Wade, what about you, brother? Down there in Lafayette. Joe Brent, are you around? Hey, somebody's awake. Praise the Lord.
I think it's most of it is the same as the Bible. As more you listen and more you read, the more you think about during the day. Because my work is quite involved, way of thinking and drawing and stuff is. It's more about you read, the more you can think about the Lord, especially the time I'm going through. So it's especially the time now, it's you need the Lord so much, and it mustn't just be in the times of need. You know, times is going well as well. It's when it's going well, it's good to listen to know you have a shepherd. It's always there. It feels he's not there because you're going away or you drawing from him. It's not the Lord leaving you. It's I was just thinking, just for interest sake, if we sheep, we have a shepherd, what's the world have as a, what do you think?
What's the what?
If a Lord have sheep, or a shepherd have sheep, mm-hmm. What does the world have? What's the world don't have a shepherd, but have what? What do you think? Just be interesting. You understand what I'm asking?
Not really, but somebody else does. What did he say, Joe? The browsing.
What's the term for? I'm thinking of if this makes sense, Joe. You see in the movies, or you see like those slaves working, and you got the guy with the whip. You know, there's the shepherd.
Taskmaster.
That's exactly what I was like, a taskmaster, because a shepherd's not a taskmaster running around with the whip or his cane beating the sheep. You know, like what are you doing? Get to work. So yeah, the goats, I guess you could say, or the lost out there have a brutal taskmaster whipping them around. You know, and they don't have any rest. So yeah, that's. Yeah, exactly.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Amen. That asks you a question?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Greg. Go ahead, Tim.
I was thinking about this, and it kind of occurred to me that, you know, we hear from the Lord in an audible thing or in our mind or, you know, looking at the Word or whatever, but when we realize that our situation has changed, or you know, the situation of people that we care for or pray for have changed, and we acknowledge that and know that God's hand is in it, that you know, we can hear from him that way too. We don't have to, you know, and I you know, heard a lot of audible from the God. It's usually correction, and you know, it gets my attention, but and you know, and a lot in the Word, you know, that I hear from him. But when I see, you know, situations have changed personally and you know and people I care for, and I realize that I'm hearing from the Lord, that he is listening to me and he's trying to talk to me, that he's in control, and you know, we got to just kick back and let him do it, but you can hear from him in other ways.
Amen. Lynn, it says this, he said, sorry, my reception is real bad here. I struggle with many distractions in my life. It's my main focus right now to get in close fellowship with the Lord. I listen a lot, but that only goes so far. Need much more personal fellowship. Amen. I think we all do. Praise the Lord. You know, Megan, would you like to tell us what you've gotten out of this shepherd's look at Psalms 23?
It's good, but I also have a problem with reception and also distraction as well.
Amen. That's what I was just relating to, was that we have that. I get too much of that. Okay, let's see. Who did I miss? I think Tracy's working, so I don't know if she can or not give us any kind of input, how she liked it. Wade, are you back around anywhere? How about you, George? Ah, there's Wade.
Yeah, I'm here now. Okay. Mic over another end of the... that's where it belongs. That's where I pick it up at. And that's where it stays, usually. But I'm glad to have it out. I'm glad I've gotten it. God gives us deals sometimes. He blesses us with blessings and finances, like finding something on sale that you were going to pay for, and you find it exactly on sale. So I'm looking at God, how he fills our day. He fills our day with all kind of goodness, all kind of things, so we can know him openly and the whole, and just we know him, and he causes us to know him. So I mean, he knows us. He definitely knows us. The book was good. Like I said yesterday, what I heard of it was very good. It was I have trouble reading, but it was like God was showing himself in a telescope, and we could see the whole grandeur of God. And then he was also showing us himself in a microscope. We could see the minutest detail of the doings of God. And that's how I felt about the yesterday's or the one when I talked.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Wade.
You're welcome. I wish I was walking on water.
Well, get out there and find you some water and start walking. Amen. No, Barbara, you answered it. You did good. Amen. All right. Who'd I miss? George, are you anywhere around? Joe DeBrasi, did I get you? I thought I did. Yeah, I thought I did. Marilyn. Didn't get Marilyn. Not Marilyn, but Debbie. I'm talking about Debbie. I'm looking at Debbie and hollering in Marilyn. Sorry about that.
Well, I shared the Psalm, the Ezekiel 34 chapter. Spoke a lot to me about that, you know, seeing the way the church out there is run by the shepherds they have. But I also did take in a lot of I really liked the book. Took in a lot of personal thoughts and the Lord's care. Could see how he's there for us. And I was thinking today about, I don't know how this fits in, but I was thinking today about how good God is. Like, people have been speaking how good God is. And like years ago when I worked, I was a Christian. I wasn't really living for the Lord the way I should, but I knew I was a Christian because I'd go in the bathroom on my work breaks, you know, and just be in the stall and just be weeping for God, I want to really be a real, I want to be a Christian woman. I want to really be walking with you. I could see what it should be. I would picture women of my mom's age, you know, at the church and everything, and think, they're Christian women. Why am I not like that? And I would just cry that. And for about 2 years, I was like that, just crying unto the Lord that, how do I get out of this mess I'm in, you know? And so the Lord is so good, and he was a good shepherd, and he led me out and led me to the Lord and in a fuller, deeper way. And so he's a good, good shepherd. Praise the Lord. The Lord.
Yep, that's a good book. Barbara says the book was excellent. I still have the last chapter to read. I just got through reading it. Barbara?
I wasn't here the first hour. I just came on.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
That's okay. I'll read it.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. All right. What now, folks? Well, I did get a word today.
Greg, what time of day is it for you? And what day is it?
Right, it's the year 2032. it's Friday, late Friday morning.
Let's see, Friday morning. Let's see, what is it?
I'm 13
about 4 o'clock. What time is it?
Friday morning would make it 10:37 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah, 13 hours ahead of US Eastern.
Ah, okay. Yeah, it's 9:37 here. Something like 9:39. Anyway, today, this afternoon, I was asking the Lord for a word for us tonight. And the word he gave me was 1 Thessalonians 4:9. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. It's a good one. It's a good one, an encouraging word. But concerning love of the brethren, you have no need that one write to you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Amen. That's the love we've been talking about. Thank you, Jesus. And I asked specifically for a word for this fellowship, this outreach. Thank you, Lord. Who's got something they want to share? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I was reading today in Numbers 12 chapter. What interesting is at verse 5.
12 numbers, 12 and 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just thinking, it must have been a serious experience for them when Jehovah came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the door of a tent and called. They both came forth. It must have been a big experience. It just, the Lord came just to speak to both of them. And,
whoa. Yeah. Amen. That's when he got after Aaron and Marion. Amen. Okay.
In verse 6, what do you think his audible voice is like, a thunder, or like, how did he hear, how do you think they hear his voice? Is it just as audible as we speak now?
Well, it depends on the situation, I suspect. The way I hear him speak is just in my mind. And just you know, he speaks Arkansas. Sure it does.
He speaks Afrikaans.
And Greg says he speaks Australian, so we got a problem here. Oh my. And then Andrew's up there, no, he speaks like a Canadian.
Does he a lot?
Oh boy. Well, in the Bible, of course, he speaks in the thunder. You know, when he was up there around Moses, people heard thunder up there a lot. But I don't hear thunder or anything near that. I'm sure y'all don't. Okay, let's see.
Didn't when he went to go talk to Saul in the book of Acts there, like Saul himself heard him. But the other two guys only heard a thunder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. First time I heard the Lord speak to me audibly. I hadn't been saved long, and y'all have heard this, some of you have. I was getting up, and I was getting my blue jeans on, and I was telling the Lord how much I loved him. And then this audible voice from behind my head there said, I love you too, Michael. Boy, I like to fell out. Whoa, where'd that come from, you know? But it was an audible voice. So praise God for those audible voices. And it wasn't scary, don't get me wrong. I mean, it was just a natural thing, it seems like. Just kind of took me by surprise.
Well, let's just try and review all the different ways he could talk to us. You know,
like, okay.
There's the dreams. There's the visions. You know, people dream at night. You know, I often wonder, you know, Peter went through a dream there. He thought he was dreaming, but he was being rescued. So what if that's going to happen in reverse with some of us here? Like, I heard some people say that they were witnessing to people in their dreams. How do you know this isn't actually happening? If Peter didn't know, he thought he was dreaming and he was coming out of prison. So I don't know, you know, like, I'm just thinking out loud here, that's all.
Well, what about the time that David took off and went over to somewhere in Eastern Europe, preached a sermon that he didn't know what he was preaching because he was preaching in their language or in tongues, whatever. And then God brought him back, you know. That's another way that God was talking to those people. Through a human.
Makes you wonder, like, if people ever saw his picture somehow, and they'd say, hey, that was the guy that day.
I've often thought about that, Andrew, and I think that one day there's going to be somebody come here and say, hey, that's the guy that was up there preaching in front of our church that time. And he'll be saying it whatever language that they says in, you know. And then we'll find out where he was. He doesn't know where he was. He just knows it was some kind of Eastern European church. big mausoleum type church that they got over there. But anyway, I asked him, I said, you didn't understand a word you were saying? Nope, didn't understand a word I was saying. I said, did they understand what you said? Yep, they looked like they knew what I was talking about. I said, okay. I said, how long did it take you to get back? He said, just a split second. He didn't travel through space like you hear some of them do, you know. They'll go through space and da-da-da-da-da. But he said, I was there, then I come back that quick. We're talking about David Eels, Greg, taking a trip over into Eastern Europe.
Yeah, I figured. I didn't think King David did go to Eastern Europe, at least not in Scripture.
Yeah. Okay. What else, Andrew? How many other ways can we hear God talk to?
You can ask him for a word there when you open your book and you put your finger down there. You know, I did that the other day on Wednesday. And got something in Hey Guy. Only two chapters in that book, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, that's something that we do almost every morning here.
Oh.
Is we all come together in prayer time here in the house, and we'll have 15 or 20 people in there, and everybody will have gotten a word like you're talking about.
That would be exciting. I remember we did that a few times on the set here, where we all wanted to go. He gave us a topic, and we all got a word on it. We discussed it. That was kind of cool.
That was.
And then there's the visions there, you know.
Yeah.
The Lord will give you a vision, and you're supposed to act on it. And some are very easily interpreted. I'm sure you should be able to interpret it yourself if he's given you a vision. And then, of course, you during the times of the day there, you know, you're asking for the Lord to intervene when Mr. Tempter comes along, you know, and you've got to cast down those reasonings and every high thing. So there's another communication with the Lord.
Amen.
You know, sometimes you might not be having a good dream, and you can ask the Lord to intervene in the midst of your dream, and he'll intervene with it too. And I also think what would be another way? Well, when you're actually thinking on just how sovereign God is about everything, you know, like I like those words in the last page there on his diligence for us. You know, you sometimes go, well, what did the Lord do today? And you can't think of anything. And you go, well, wait a minute, he's sovereign over everything. So, you know, he's actually conversed with you there for a couple of seconds. I didn't do anything. Don't you know I'm sovereign over everything? And that's kind of weird when you sometimes go into those far left seat there and you go, uh-oh, it was just corrected. It's exciting when he does stuff like that. I think my mic's going out. Did it go out there?
No, you've kind of spouttered a little bit, but we understood you.
It was warning me there. Yeah.
Was it a battery operated?
No, I got it all plugged in. I'm even plugged into my internet because I didn't want it to go choppy, so I just got an extension cord for it. Okay. Plug it into the back of the thing there.
Amen.
That's a hard line now. I'm not.
Yeah, hardwired. Yeah.
So what I said was when you're thinking about those days where you say, well, I didn't get anything from the Lord today, and you suddenly it pops into your head that he's sovereign over everything. So he just answered your question there, and it wasn't posed as a question, and that's a little scary when that happens. You know, you can't get too comfortable. You should be always honorable to him. But sometimes I think we lack that. We get a little too comfortable too. And I think the honor should always be there. And I can't think of any other means of communication other than when you read the word and it gives you more, you know. Or you can just be meditating on all that you've learned, you know. Because I don't work in a desk job, I can just sit there at my workplace and meditate on what I'm doing. Not on what I'm doing, but on the Lord's teachings that he's taught me, you know. Sometimes go through the things that I've learned from UVM, you know, and just to try and see how much I can remember, you know. That's a good thing to do, and always pray, you know, and then through the day, sometimes, you know, I just start praying in tongues, just not loudly on the bus or anything. I don't want people to think I'm weird. And you just pray under your lips there in tongues, you know, and it sometimes, you know, you make it happen, and sometimes it just comes up out of your mouth for no reason, and there must be a reason for it. Like maybe it was a prayer of protection for your travels. You don't know when that happens. And but you know, I do like my Saturdays, because you know you can spend a lot of time there and catch up for the whole week, because you had to go to work and you can read a lot then. You sleep in a bit too, but you wake up.
Amen.
I think my record is going from when I woke up around 10 o'clock to maybe 4 o'clock and just drenched in it. And and I'm also like still writing my paper on the word.
Well, are you?
Yeah, it's just about mainly about the Book of John. I just wanted to start it there because of the nice start in chapter 1. The verses there, and I started, you know, it's like you're back in school, you're writing a paper. This one's fun though, because, you know, I actually drew a little, because there's all little notes, you know, and I drew a picture of, foundation stones. I got my list over there. It's on the table. I'm going to incorporate this somehow into my little paper that I'm writing. So, you know, people can make up their own foundation stones, you know, and because they're not really made up. Like, a foundation stone for me was always every word spoken has a spirit attached to it. And then it's every word read too, and it's every word heard, and it's every word that pops into your head. So I think I covered it all there, and every word spoken, of course. And they all have a spirit attached to it and a lifestyle. Because you get some people who always profess to be born this way or something, and that's the life they have. And they don't understand that there is another life out there they can have that's with the Lord. And the other day, you know, because my workplace, we all share one computer. One guy was finished one side of his printing, and he was waiting for it to dry for him to do the other side of the printing. And he went into the little office where we share the computer, and he brings up onto the computer on YouTube Epstein and what he did, you know, and all this stuff that's on YouTube on Epstein. And he went, "Whoa, is this guy ever bad?" You know, and he goes, "What's the world coming to?" You know, and I go, "You know what? He evangelized other people to be with the way he wanted them to be, you know, because he got a lot of highfalutin people there evangelized in the wrong way, you know." And and then he just looked at me and he smiled, because he knows I read the Bible back in my corner there. working.
So, you know, this, I don't know what this guy, I think he's an atheist Catholic. That's how I label him, because he's married to a Catholic, but he's not a Christian at all. He's got one of these New Age religions that's only been around in the last couple of years. And I forget what it's called, but he told me once, and I looked it up, and I went, uh-oh, this guy's a devil worshiper, and he doesn't know it. And it's just sad, you know. And he actually came into contact with some Christian people. He went to the Pentecostal assemblies there, and he did ask me some questions, you know, and about tongues. And I said, well, you know, tongues is biblical. And then I gave him the verse in the Bible there. He asked me another question. I said, I don't know what about that. That was a couple of, well, quite a while ago. He's the one who kind of tries to get you all the time, you know. And I used to have a real bad guy at work. He's on LOA now, and he's been on LOA for a few years now. He used to be always the one that would come and kind of mock me about what I was believing. And I was fairly new in the Lord, and well, the Lord took him out of the workplace. And, so you think about things that happened in the past, you know, and some of the people you knew, and you try to pray for such people and ask the Lord for pity for them. Because we were there where we needed pity too. And I find pity is a whole lot more than just mercy. Pity is like a level higher. And they need that. Anyway, I think I talked enough.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew. Dave, good to have you with us.
Yeah, I'm glad I could join.
Amen.
Yeah, you probably seen that email. I hit a deer Tuesday, took my car out.
Oh, really? No, I don't guess I did.
Oh, yeah.
You sent me one?
No, I sent it to Chris for a prayer request because I was trying to get it to a correction where to go with it. Yeah. So, after looking around at a couple of different cars and feeling them out, and we actually went and looked at one tonight and seeing all the things I'd probably have to do to fix it and what I have, I decided just to take my car and to see what it costs just to get it up and running again. And it's like, I can spend less money to get it running again than I hit buying another car and working on getting that thing all worked out and fixed up. You know, it's just a work car. It's back and forth, A to B.
Yeah. So,
that's all I need.
You know, I got a question.
Yeah.
The deer that you hit, did you skin it out?
You know,
put it in the freezer.
Man. I was heading to work. That was it was Tuesday morning, and I was heading to work, and it was like I was tired. Was it Tuesday? What is today? Today's Thursday. Actually, it was Wednesday morning. It was Wednesday morning. So, you know how we have a conference call on Tuesday, so I got up a little tired and, you know, kind of wake myself up a little bit and got going, and it just seemed like it was, like, darker than normal. I only got maybe half a mile from the house. And all of a sudden, there that deer was.
A half a mile to the house?
Yeah, maybe, you know, I got going a good 55 miles an hour. You know, they had enough time to get that fast for 60. And then all of a sudden, there's that deer. And it's like, wow, wham. It's just like, I'm going to hit him. I just hit the brakes and hit him. He went flying. I thought, well, he's gone. My car's damaged. I'm just going to drive into work. I drove into work, and he was out of the road. I drove into work, and I quick got in. I thought, well, a quick punch in and everything else, got everything done. Then I take a minute to go down real quick with a flashlight to look and see all the damage. And looked underneath it, and it was dripping little antifreeze. I thought, well, I can't. That ain't going to work. I'm going to have to take it home. So I went and told my boss, you know, I got to drive my car home. I hit a deer. And, oh, are you okay? Said, yeah, I'm fine. Psalms 91. I mean, the car got hit, but I got protected.
Did Greg wants to know if the deer had insurance.
You know what? If he did, it must have been no fault. Because
okay.
Because I don't. He's not going to claim it was his fault that I hit it.
Okay. You didn't yield to him, huh?
I don't know, man. He was in my lane. What can I say?
Oh, my. Praise God. Well, thank you, Lord, that he wasn't hurt.
It was trial of my faith to figure out, well, am I being punished? Is there something I didn't do right? You know, that kind of thing. It goes through your head. Getting all these things and then trying to grieve about getting the car and not real happy about that and looking through all that stuff. And the Lord finally said, you know, he did bad way, but he said, you know, you don't have a right heart about this. You're not happy. You're not joyous. You're not taking this trial right. You know, that was kind of it's more of the trial about how to go through bad things happen to you, but have a still not be shaken up. That's what it's about.
Yeah. So that I'd have been thinking about deer chili for a pot blessing.
Well, somebody got it. That's fine. You know, but you know.
Okay. Praise God. Well, I guess we're out of time. Greg, it's nice to have you with us tonight. Down under. Praise God.
Glad I could drop in.
Yes. It's good.
What country?
Australia.
Australia. All right. Awesome.
They speak a different language than we do in Arkansas.
Yeah, we don't speak so fast.
There you go.
No, we don't. All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another good evening. Thank you, Father, for allowing us this avenue to get together and talk about you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for placing it in our heart to not be distracted so much in the future and just to seek you for the things that we need to seek you for. Father, we thank you for blessing everybody and giving them a good night's sleep tonight and giving us some dreams and visions about the things to come. And Lord, we ask and we pray for your protection upon everybody here in Jesus' name in the days ahead. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you for protecting President Trump and the people around him and his family. He's in a dangerous situation. And Father, we thank you for doing that and draining the swamp here. In Jesus' name. Well, all right. God bless y'all. We'll see you. Hey, what about it, David, Saturday night, you going to host?
Yeah, I feel like it.